Today is the 21st day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome to the Global Campfire. It is great to be here with you. I'm glad that we can be here together today, all of us, all cozy. No matter where we are on this beautiful planet that God has given us to be humans on, we have this little place. It's all ours around the Global Campfire. And we come here and show up and say hi to each other every day because we're all on the same journey. And that is the journey through the scriptures this year. And we have navigated our way really deep into the scriptures and really deep into the year. Well, we certainly have a generous, good portion out in front of us. But our journey in the Old Testament has led us all the way to the book of Ezekiel. And today we will read chapters 42 and 43. Then the man led me out of the temple courtyard by way of the north gateway. We entered the outer courtyard and came to a group of rooms against the north wall of the inner courtyard. This structure, whose entrance opened toward the north, was 175 feet long and 87.5 feet wide. One block of rooms overlooked the 35-foot width of the inner courtyard. Another block of rooms looked out onto the pavement of the outer courtyard. The two blocks were built 3 levels high and stood across from each other. Between the two blocks of rooms ran a walkway 17.5 feet wide. It extended the entire 175 feet of the complex, and all the doors faced north. Each of the two upper levels of rooms was narrower than the one beneath it because the upper levels had to allow space for walkways in front of them. Since there were 3 levels and they did not have supporting columns as in the courtyards, each of the upper levels was set back from the level beneath it. It was an outer wall that separated the rooms from the outer courtyard. It was 87.5 feet long. This wall added length to the outer block of rooms, which extended for only 87.5 feet, while the inner block, the rooms toward the temple, extended for 175 feet. There was an eastern entrance from the outer courtyard to these rooms. On the south side of the temple, there were 2 blocks of rooms just south of the inner courtyard between the temple and the outer courtyard. These rooms were arranged just like the rooms on the north. There was a walkway between the 2 blocks of rooms just like the complex on the north side of the temple. This complex of rooms was the same length and width as the other one, and it had the same entrances and doors. The dimensions of each were identical, so there was an entrance in the wall facing the doors of the inner block of rooms, and another on the east at the end of the interior walkway. Then the man told me, "These rooms that overlook the temple from the north and south are holy. Here, the priests who offer sacrifices to the Lord will eat the most holy offerings. And because these rooms are holy, they will be used to store the sacred offerings, the grain offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. When the priests leave the sanctuary, they must not go directly to the outer courtyard. They must first take off the clothes they wore while ministering, because these clothes are holy. They must put on other clothes before entering the parts of the building complex open to the public." When the man had finished measuring the inside of the temple area, he led me out through the east gateway to measure the entire perimeter. He measured the east side with his measuring rod, and it was 875 feet long. Then he measured the north side, and it was also 875 feet. The south side was also 875 feet, and the west side was also 875 feet. So the area was 875 feet on each side, with a wall all around it to separate what was holy from what was common. After this, the man brought me back around to the east gateway. Suddenly, the glory of the God of Israel appeared from the east. The sound of his coming was like the roar of rushing waters, and the whole landscape shone with his glory. This vision was just like the others I had seen, first by the Kabar River, and then when he came to destroy Jerusalem. I fell face down on the ground, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple through the east gateway. Then the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner courtyard, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And I heard someone speaking to me from within the temple, while the man who had been measuring stood beside me. The Lord said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place where I will rest my feet. I will live here forever among the people of Israel. They and their kings will not defile my holy name any longer by their adulterous worship of other gods, or by honoring the relics of their kings who have died. They put their idol altars right next to mine with only a wall between them and me. They defiled my holy name by such detestable sin, so I consumed them in my anger. Now let them stop worshiping other gods and honoring the relics of their kings, and I will live among them forever. Son of man, describe to the people of Israel the temple I have shown you, so they will be ashamed of all their sins. Let them study its plan, and they will be ashamed of what they have done. Describe to them all the specifications of the temple, including its entrances and exits and everything else about it. Tell them about its decrees and laws. Write down all these specifications and decrees as they watch, so they will be sure to remember and follow them. And this is the basic law of the temple: absolute holiness. The entire top of the mountain where the temple is built is holy. Yes, this is the basic law of the temple. These are the measurements of the altar. There is a gutter all around the altar, 21 inches deep and 21 inches wide, with a curb 9 inches wide around its edge. And this is the height of the altar. From the gutter, the altar rises 3.5 feet to a lower ledge that surrounds the altar and is 21 inches wide. From the lower ledge, the altar rises 7 feet to the upper ledge that is also 21 inches wide. The top of the altar, the hearth, rises another 7 feet higher, with a horn rising up from each of the four corners. The top of the altar is square, measuring 21 feet by 21 feet. The upper ledge also forms a square, measuring 24.5 feet by 24.5 feet, with a 21-inch gutter and a 10.5-inch curb all around the edge. There are steps going up the east side of the altar. Then he said to me, "Son of man, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. These will be the regulations for the burning of offerings and the sprinkling of blood when the altar is built. At that time, the Levitical priests of the family of Zadok, who minister before me, are to be given a young bull for a sin offering," says the Sovereign Lord. "You will take some of its blood and smear it on the four horns of the altar, the four corners of the upper ledge, and the curb that runs around the ledge. This will cleanse and make atonement for the altar. Then take the young bull for the sin offering and burn it at the appointed place outside the temple area. On the second day, sacrifice as a sin offering a young male goat that has no physical defects. Then cleanse and make atonement for the altar again, just as you did with the young bull. When you have finished the cleansing ceremony, offer another young bull that has no defects and a perfect ram from the flock. You are to present them to the Lord, and the priests are to sprinkle salt on them and offer them as a burnt offering to the Lord. Every day for 7 days, a male goat, a young bull, and a ram from the flock will be sacrificed as a sin offering. None of these animals may have physical defects of any kind. Do this each day for 7 days to cleanse and make atonement for the altar, thus setting it apart for holy use. On the 8th day and on each day afterward, the priests will sacrifice on the altar the burnt offerings and peace offerings of the people. Then I will accept you. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. James 5. Look here, you rich people. Weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Psalm 119, 1 through 16. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Proverbs 28, 6 and 7. Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and rich. Young people who obey the law are wise. Those with wild friends bring shame to their parents. Okay, so we finished the letter of James today. And it's interesting to start looking at the final words of some of these books. We're going to be moving much more rapidly through a lot of territory as we move to the end of the year. And so final words, the way that something gets all summed up is something to pay attention to. And the final words of encouragement from James give this kind of life posture, this way of being, this thing that we're living into. And as we look at his thoughts, we have to remember that this was written to Jewish brothers and sisters. So this was written to Hebrew people from a Hebrew perspective. And these are people that had been forced to disperse and relocate because of marginalization. It was becoming difficult to follow Jesus. And so there was persecution and marginalization. And so I quote, as James ends, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider how the farmers wait patiently for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen." That's how you have to be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. So for a person facing hardship, and that can apply to us facing hardship, but for these people to whom this was originally given, for those facing hardship, this would be like encouragement to keep going. Just to go on. Which means that they can speak to each of us on some level. Some encouragement. Just to go on. We are reminded that this is a process. And we're in it. So we're in process. And we have to be patient with ourselves and with each other. And this theme of endurance, right? It shows up and it just will not leave. We have to practice endurance. And that can be so hard. Especially in cultures that promise like instant gratification. Sanctification just like actually nothing that's real and true does work that way. Sanctification doesn't work that way. So James uses this example. It's like a farmer, you know, who waits for the harvest and the rains. They don't plant a seed and harvest the crop the next day. It's not instant gratification. Sometimes the long wait for the wind to finally be at our back instead of blowing us down can just be so discouraging. And it's in that discouragement that, and we find ourselves like the children of Israel. We're grumbling our way through the wilderness. And James speaks to that today. And I quote, because this is the way he's choosing to end his letter. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters. Don't do that or you'll be judged. Because look, the judge is standing at the door. In other words, like, you're not saying anything that's not being heard. It's from a distance. Everything you're doing is being seen and heard. And then in the final paragraphs of the letter, he gives several postures for seasons that we may go through in our lives, including a final one that should always be in our lives. So he asks, are any of you suffering hardships? There's the question. His encouragement is, you should pray. And then he asks, are any of you happy? And then his encouragement is, you should sing praises. Are any of you sick? He asks. And then he encourages, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. And then he says, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, produces wonderful results. I mean, James is saying that what we're working toward is ultimate vulnerability. And man, ultimate vulnerability requires ultimate safety. And so, yeah, there's a ways to go for all of that. But this is where it's all going, and this is what we're aiming for. And it only took a couple of days to get through James, but our butts have been kicked, right? I mean, that's what James does. So we have a lot to think about and a lot to contemplate if we'll open ourselves to it. Because James was honest with us, and so we have to be honest with James now. Like, we have to be honest with ourselves as that seeps into our lives. Because there will be necessary changes that have to be made if we are actually going to be doers and not only hearers of the Word of God. And so, Holy Spirit, come. We're here. And everything that can be challenged about us is going to find its way to be challenged between now and the end of the year. And so we have this great pull, this great calling forward to snap out of it, to wake up, to open our eyes, to get clear. And James works so eloquently and so directly in that regard. And so, Holy Spirit, come. We open ourselves to the truth and invite you to pull us into it. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is also a home base. And I'm sure you can imagine that one is at the App Store and one's on the web. So come to home base and check it out. Check out the different sections. The community section, this is where the prayer wall lives that we talk about so often. It is also where different links to connect on social media on the platforms that we participate in can be found. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there, including like this, the quarterly snapback hats that change out every quarter. This quarter is the Navy and leather, super dressy, classy. But there are a number of other resources there for the journey that we are on, so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you with all humility. There is no global campfire if we're not at it together and in it together. So thank you so deeply and profoundly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Blue Eyed Child from Indiana, calling all the dabbers to be in agreement with me. Yesterday was a day of sadness, but a day of rejoicing. My mom is standing before Jesus now. She passed away. Her name is Shanancy. We live together. Just need all your prayers, dabbers. It was November 16th between the hours of 7 or 8. It's right now 5:37 in the morning, and I just need everybody's prayers. This is Blue Eyed Child from Indiana. It's 5:37 right now in the morning. I just need God to give me and my family direction on what to do now, other than the normal things. Anyhow, just keep us lifted up in prayer, dabbers. Anyhow, thank you. Again, this is Blue Eyed Child, and Shanancy from Indiana passed away yesterday. She was my mother, between 7 and 8. It was November 16th, 2024. Thanks, guys. God bless you.
Hello, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I just listened to the November 16th podcast, and a woman had called in regarding a dear family friend who was diagnosed, was found to have a brain tumor deep within the recesses of her brain back in August and is already on hospice. Oh, Heavenly Father, I lift this woman and her family up to you. Father, I sit her at the feet of your almighty throne. You are the Prince of Peace and you are the healer. And Father, we look to you first and foremost. If it is your will, I ask for a divine healing in the name of Jesus. I ask that you touch her at the top of her head and heal her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet in every capacity, Jesus. In your name, I ask these things. I ask that your peace that truly does go beyond all of our understanding fall upon every single person that is affected by her illness, her family, her husband, her children, her mother-in-law, this lady that obviously loves her and called in. Heavenly Father, I just truly ask that your peace come and it just bring absolute peace in a situation that seems, well, it's horrible. It's horrible, right? Because they're watching a loved one go through some very hard times. So, Father, I just lift this woman and her family, her loved ones, and her situation up to you. I ask that if it is your will, you heal her in Jesus' name. And I ask that you just bring immense peace to the family and the loved ones that are directly affected. It is in your mighty, matchless name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.
Hi, I would like prayer for my friend Alexis. She is living in Maine right now, and her family is being evicted from their house this week, and she's living with them. They're in a really tough financial situation. They need finances to move from Maine to Florida. They need finances to get a new place to settle at. They're just in a really tricky position, and they've been going without hot water and electricity for a while. And my friend Alexis is really struggling in her faith, and she's afraid of becoming homeless. She's actually been homeless before. And so she needs a lot of prayer and she needs to see God provide. Thank you.
Hello, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I'm calling in. I just heard Luke from Tulsa, Oklahoma, call in about the struggles that he and his wife are having to conceive. Heavenly Father, I lift this couple up to you. We know that your timing is perfect. We know that you have a plan for us, Heavenly Father. I pray that it be your will for them to conceive sooner than later. I pray that your comfort and your peace is over them as they go through this very difficult, trying time. Luke, I just wanted to share a little bit. You're not alone in this experience. My husband and I went through 3 in vitro fertilization cycles trying to conceive. Unfortunately, encountered a miscarriage. Went through a medicated cycle. After that, actually was successful. The Lord blessed us with my son in that cycle. Then we went through 2 medicated cycles and another IVF cycle after that to try and conceive another. The Lord blessed us with our son. We were not able to have another, which is fine. Looking back on it, I see his hand in all of it. And I just pray that you and your wife are able to see the Lord's hand in all of this. Trust him. Submit all of your I don't know, could be frustrations, could be anger, could be fear. Submit all of it to him. Take it and lay it at his feet. Spend time in the secret place with him, praying for these things. Spend time with him, maybe to reveal things, but trust in him above all. Trust his timing, trust his plan. Lord, we pray that you give your peace to Luke and his wife. We pray that you make it so that they conceive and have a beautiful, beautiful baby that obviously is nothing but a gift from you. I lift this couple up to you, and it is in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.